Hello, everybody, and welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, David Prutton, as we look back at the second half of a season that has certainly been lively, to say the very least. Just when we think we've experienced some of the toughest battles at the very top and bottom of our English footballing pyramid, the Sky Bet Championship, League One and League Two serve up an absolute feast of football, and I, for one, have loved every single minute of it. At Christmas, we brought you the best of the guests, part one. So there's no prizes for guessing what this episode is all about. Sit back and relax as we bring you the very best of the guest part two right here on the official EFL podcast. January's New Year blues were blown away by a well-travelled star striker plying his trade amidst the Hollywood glitz and glamour of North Wales. Wrexham's Stephen Fletcher was knocking them in for fun at the time, but despite having enjoyed a glittering career himself, he's the first to recognise the quality around him and certainly not too old to learn some new tricks along the way.
We've got a good group of strikers. We have. We've got a good two good young lads as well with Sam Dolby and Bickerstaff. Bickers obviously just signed a new deal as well, which is great for him and the club. And Ollie Palmer, obviously Ollie's out injured just now, but he will be back relatively soon. So we've got a good competition, and it's good for strikers, I think. It's because you need to be kept on your toes. You need to be kept on your toes because I've played in a lot of clubs and we've had a lot of strikers, and you know for a fact if your form dips, someone will come in and if they stay in the team, you're sitting watching from the side. So it's good. It's a good competition we've got going just now.
Competition between strikers. I know that goalies are odd. Strikers are their own kind of little characteristic as well. So in that sense, are you all rooting for each other and pushing each other on? You're smiling, so
as I've got older, I love, like, obviously I've done my coaching when a few years ago, so I've always had, when I was younger, I'll be honest, I just wanted to play. I was selfish. I wanted to play, but as I've got older, I love helping the young strikers on, they don't even need to be young, but you just your strike partner, just kind of like little things that you've picked up over your career. And listen, I'm still learning as well, and you see. The game's changed. The technique of even the way, like even from the way Mills hits the ball, it's ridiculous. His finishing and stuff, and then the young lads as well. They can all put stuff on the ball that I could only dream of. The way they hit it, and I'm like, how? The ball's going. It looks like it's going about 30 yards over the bar, and next minute it just dips under, and you're thinking that's ridiculous. I'd do my back out trying to hit a shot like that. Do you know what I mean? So I'm always learning as well. I'm actually asking them, where do you hit the ball for that to do that?
You mentioned coaching though, and badges, and presumably in the little period that you weren't attached to a club, that next step must have been looming pretty large. So now you're back with the boots on playing. Is coaching part of your future?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I will complete my badges and I'll have them there. I do enjoy it. Before I'd done them, I kind of got pushed into doing it, and I was like, yeah. I don't know. But see, when I started it, I got addicted to it, and I was like, This is good. And see, before when I was out, I went away for a week with the Scottish FA, and I didn't want it to end, and I had to go back to my club, and I was thinking, I don't want to go back, I want to carry on doing this. It was that enjoyable. But then obviously you take time away and golf takes over, I'm not gonna lie. and then I was back playing, so I will carry on doing a bits and pieces, but yeah, right now I'm concentrating on playing. I'm playing golf.
Well, you do certainly get to an age where golf becomes a basic human requirement. From one former Scotland international now to another, and Fleetwood Town manager Charlie Adam. When we spoke to him at the beginning of the year, he'd not long been in the post at the Highbury Stadium up in the northwest, but was fully aware of what would be deemed as success or failure, and almost more than happy to admit using the experience of another well-known Scottish manager he knows only too well.
I have a good relationship with David Moyes. Somebody that my agent is his brother, so I've known David for a long, long time. Somebody I trust, and I have people that I would use. I don't have any problems picking up the phone to managers or former people, because that's the way I want to be. I want to have a relationship with people, and ultimately, if you have a relationship with these types of people, you know, because they've been there, they've seen it and done it. David gave me great advice, the reasons to take a job, not to take a job. But again, ultimately, you have to make the own decision on your own. So I would say somebody like a David Moyes, you know, old managers I've had in Ian Holloway, people like that that I've worked with, would bounce things off. So I've got a lot of support out with the game that I can rely and pick the phone up to. And yeah, it's just having that moment and that time that I will eventually speak to the people that are going to really benefit and help me going forward, and hopefully be part of a journey that is going to be successful over the years to come.
What was the biggest reason for taking the job then, after having spoken to the likes of David Moyes and Ian Holloway? What kind of reasons did they give you to pursue this career?
Well, Julia, I always wanted to be a number one. I was really intrigued as a player about coaching and management, why, what decisions were made, the reasons for it. Tactics were massive for me. And, you know, I've reached out to a lot of managers over the last couple of years to maybe get advice or go and meet them to have a chat in terms of what their expectations are or their experiences they've had as a manager. And ultimately, a lot of them are saying, just be yourself. Be what you think is right for you. Don't change. Be a good human being, because you'll get rewarded with that. And it's important that these players feel loved. You know, me and Prutz, as a player, you want to be loved. And if you give that back, then these lads will run through brick walls for you. And at the moment, I've managed to get a good reaction from the players, and hopefully that can continue. But I keep saying it, I have to win football matches. That's the drive, that's the excitement about setting your team up in the week and then ultimately trying to win a game at the weekend.
Norwich City fans have enjoyed the samba sunshine of their Brazilian magician Gabriel Sara this season, and they're not the only ones, as Gabby himself has also been living his time in East Anglia. In fact, he loves pretty much everything about playing football over here, except for perhaps the weather, which he's not quite so enthusiastic about.
Gary, when you play, you obviously, as we say, you play with a smile on your face. You've got that sort of infectious smile, if you like, we say in this country. Have you always been that sort of positive when you've played football and in life as well?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think I got this from my dad. He used to say to me, when you do something with passion, you know, like if when you do something that you really love, you will be happy doing that, you know. So in life, if you love life and if you love play football, you definitely will be happy doing this. So I think I always try to do like this, you know. Makes sense to me.
It makes perfect sense the way you're describing it. I mean, not all of us could do the things that you can do, Gabby, with a football. That's probably why you find it so much fun. But given, as I said at the top, football life and the life of a footballer is wonderful fun. It's a wonderful profession. Just give us a sense of what it's like geographically, though, because it's safe to say, I mean, you are a long, long way from home, aren't you? How have you found that? How have you found England? How have you found English football?
It's quite good, to be fair. The beginning was a little bit tough because of the language and everything and a new country and the weather, but
I'd have started with the weather. The weather's the hardest thing to get.
Yeah, definitely, it's the hardest thing. But to be fair, it's quite good. The football here is more physical and tactical, so it's a little bit different than Brazil. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'll settle now, so I can enjoy myself here. The fans, they adopted me here like so well, like a. Like if I was born here, you know, so I think a few things was easier to me, and I'm happy to that I can enjoy football here. It's amazing to play football in England. The pitches are so good, the atmosphere is amazing. Well, as I said, the weather is not that perfect, but I think the best football in the world is in England now, so I'm really happy to be here.
So to say, Gabby, we're happy to have you here as well. And it's lovely to see someone play with such a huge smile on their face. And from one little ray of sunshine to another now, and our charming Chops himself, Neil Chopper Harris, who certainly had Jules perplexed at the concept of Millwallness.
I wanted to ask you, when you went back to Millwall, you said you wanted to bring the Millwallness to the club. Millwallness. What's Millwallness?
As in, is that perhaps way that then had a lot of pointing off news, you know.
It's a lovely way of putting it.
But what does that kind of mean, or is that just more you rather than the team?
Yeah, but do you know what, Jules? ultimately, it's hard to explain. Yeah, but partly is me and my character and my affiliation with the club. You know, it's a comment. There's sort of gone a bit viral at times into sort of people asking the question and randomness to it. What is Millwall? What is a Millwall-like team? What's a Neil Harris team look like? Probably the same thing as a Millwall-like team is what my team should epitomise me. You know, we have to be difficult to play against, hard to beat. You know, we have to be a strong mentality side. We have to be a team at the Den that doesn't get outrun, outfought, that can compete to the best of the ability. Players that don't always play well as an individual, but play with a lot of heart and desire. Because ultimately, we have got a hugely passionate fan base that demand. But they demand in a different way. They don't demand 1,000 passes in their own half. They demand a team and an individual that gives their all for the badge. And all I've done is try and sort of enable the players to understand that and, you know, feel what that should look like at the Den. And sometimes you do it with system and then try and pick the right individuals that can deliver that.
Off the point of you talking about Millwallness, and it's only because I don't keep this here for anything, and it's just literally just jogged my memory. And this won't work if you're not watching on YouTube, but I'll describe it in a second, right? The sense of what Millwallness is, Jules. Look how scared you are now. Jules, it's fine.
I'm just thinking of what you're going
to
show.
Of what Millwallness is to make people like this feel really welcome at the Den.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it was really popular. Yeah.
So that is, if you're listening, that's me with shoulder length there playing for Leeds at the Den.
That's you.
Which, yeah, that is, and that's real hair. Look how shocked you are. That's real hair, Jules.
Oh my goodness. What happened?
Jules, are you... Perhaps as I don't know if you remember, there used to be a couple of chants aimed your way, wasn't there? But you can discuss with Jules.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're right, yeah. And I thought I made a lot of friends that day. Obviously not. I think they were waving, but I can't remember. But,
do you know, I set you up for that perfectly, didn't I? And we didn't even like...
And it's almost like I keep a picture of myself with long hair. Here, I don't. I promise you I don't. It was used for something else.
It came in the post with a load of anthrax.
I don't know what's the way it goes.
Can you sign it for me and send it?
Yeah. Dear Jules, best wishes. I'll send it via chopper and he can put his name on it as well. Or he might put something very explicit. Anyway, can something be very explicit or is it just explicit? Either way, I wouldn't trust chopper as far as I could throw him. God love him. This season, we've seen some masterful displays in football's toughest challenge, the fearsome 72 in 72. Just 72 seconds to name as many of the EFL's clubs in England and Wales as you possibly can against the clock. Some have made it look easy, others have made it look nigh on impossible. But I'm pleased to say that Leeds United's Patrick Bamford fits firmly into the first of those categories.
Hi, I'm Patrick Bamford and this is the 72 and 72. Leicester, Ipswich, Leeds, Southampton, Coventry, Hull, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Swansea, Cardiff, Bristol City, Plymouth, Stoke, Birmingham, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham, Stockport, Barnsley, Leighton Orient, Carlisle, MK Dons, Wimbledon, Oxford, Wrexham, Notts County, Barnsley, Lincoln, Portsmouth, Derby. I think I'm done. What, how many seconds I got? 22 still. Oh. Burton Albion, Colchester United, Torquay, Tranmere, Hartlepool, don't know if they're still in it. Missed something from the channel.
A very decent score that's beaten only by two others, but more on that a little later. And talking of high-scoring displays, Blackburn Rovers' Sammy Smodics has been quite simply a goal-scoring machine this season. So myself and David Stowell felt it was about time we had a catch-up with the man himself, live from the car park of his local Burger King, whose Wi-Fi he was making the most of at the time.
Do you know what? I sat down with my agent at the beginning of the season and, you know, drew up a plan for for goal contributions. And, you know, I think we passed that in October. So it's been a bit of a surprise to me this season with the amount of goals I've scored. But it's not been a surprise that I have scored because, you know, every level I've played, I've always scored goals. But, you know, to do it in such a competitive league like the Championship is probably a bit of a surprise to myself. And, you know, it's something I always knew I could do. Mm. And at the old age of 28, finally, you know, I've got the chance in the league and I'm scoring goals.
From that point of view, of you mentioned your age, because obviously football, I mean, you get anywhere near 30, people start thinking you're really old. But what comes with age is maturity, maturity of thought, composure. Have you found that that's been potentially part of it, everything coming together at exactly the right time? It's amazing to think that you actually sat down and planned out what you wanted, but then to actually do it. I mean, that's another thing altogether, isn't it?
I think this season especially, you know, last year was my first year at Blackburn. And, you know, in the summer, we lost a lot of big, mature names at Blackburn, the likes of Bradley Dack, Dan Ayala. And I felt like it was a bit of a duty of mine, being one of the oldest players at 28, because it's such a young team, to step up off the pitch. And I think that maturity is just sort of just reflected onto the pitch. And I've sort of grown up off the pitch, and it's carried its way onto the pitch. And that's why I'm putting in these performances. And, you know, the goals are just a bonus for me. You know, I think scoring so early on in the season, you know, scoring a brace at Rotherham, I think second or third game in, sort of kick-started my season. And the confidence just grew from then on. And, you know, with three games to go, you know, hitting the 30 mark last weekend was massive for me. And hopefully I can add a couple more in the last three games.
I don't know whether you were aware of your numbers over the past few years, Sammy, because obviously, you know, as Pratt says, we've watched and admired your play at Peterborough, and then obviously you got the move to Blackburn and all of that. But you've scored the same number of goals this season as you have in the previous three campaigns combined. So what's sort of clicked? I mean, I know you've played a bit further up the pitch to a point, so obviously there'll be more opportunities, but it's more to it than that, isn't it?
Yes. It's tough. I was on Talk Sport yesterday or the day before, and I got asked the same question. It's quite a tough question to answer, because I'm sort of playing in that free freedom role where it's sort of like you can do whatever you want. So I can sort of go wherever I want, which is why I'm enjoying my football so much, because it's sort of just like a free flowing game. And like I mentioned, you know, you score a couple of goals and your confidence goes up, and, you know, everyone starts talking about you. And, you know, as a footballer, who doesn't like to be spoken about? And I think as games have gone on and, you know, you're playing for such a big team like Blackburn, you're on the telly more, you know, you're over social media, you know, I think it's like probably this season, I would say I've probably focused and really concentrated a lot more on my football. Obviously previous years I have as well, but just being at a club and being one of the main players and one of the oldest players at Blackburn, I've just felt like it's a lot, not serious, because every season's been serious for me, but it's been a lot more to sort of take in, and, you know, a lot more people are watching your games. And I don't know if that's just reflected. And like I mentioned earlier, my maturity has followed that. And with that's come confidence, and with that's come goals.
It's all about confidence and positivity, not just for Sammy Smodix, but also for Nigel Atkins back with his beloved Tranmere Rovers. If Nigel can't get the most out of you as a player, I really don't know who can. And his outlook on life is truly infectious, as we discovered when we caught up with him in April. Everywhere you've been, be it Scunny, Sheffield, be it Southampton, you've always absolutely cared about who you're with and what you're doing and the job in hand. And you don't see it as a job, you see it as vocational, do you? It's part of who you are. So then you mentioned Tranmere and your ties to Tranmere, your family ties to Tranmere, your professional ties to Tranmere. Does that give you then both ends of the spectrum, that when it's sweet, it's very, very sweet, but when it's bitter, my word, you feel it more than anyone else?
Well, as you say, just Tranmere Rovers, I made my debut as a 17-year-old way back in 1981. You know, I used to come and stand behind the goal and run on the pitch after the game. You can't do that now. Try and get Ronnie Moore's tie up, so Dickie Johnson style, and then Scarborough Woodchurch Lane and try not to get back in the pitch.
Tie-ups, bloody hell.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting now that players don't have tie-ups. They obviously got tight socks, but if you notice on the back of the socks on the cards,
he cut them.
So it's a trend, because we had one player the other day. I'm in the dressing room, I'm looking at him, he's got the smallest calves in the world, and he's got two cuts in the back of his calf. I'm thinking, what? let's get you to the new gym and get bigger calves to start off.
They're not cut. That's not a new pair of socks every game. This is what I was asked by my son, because my son's 12. He sees it and he says, Dad, what do they do that for? As a dad, you go, well, that cost me a load of money buying you new socks every week, mate. So you're not doing that for a start. But I presume it's just one pair of socks.
No, so they do that. And obviously what you find with the socks as well, they've cut the ankles off. So they have some under socks on. They've got little stickers on.
Socks, yeah.
So grips to the boots. So obviously all of that. And then you have your sock going down to your ankle, if you like. But it is, you've got all these socks, all this merchandise. And done. So we go, don't throw the socks away. You can still use them, the little bits, you know. Keep your feet warm in bed at night, you know. Are you going to try this when you get older? You know what I mean? You've got to keep warm.
Well, good man management is often about incentivizing those around you with goals and rewards at the end of the season. That was certainly the case for Derby County and their recent promotion success back to the Sky Bet Championship, as James Collins was only too happy to explain in detail.
Basically, start of the season, I'll take you back to the start of the season. You obviously, you know yourself, being an ex-captain, you go and sort your bonuses out and for the lads and this, that and the other. And the club said that they'll put us a trip on, they give us a pot to... us to go away if we manage to achieve promotion. So we agreed a figure and stuff. And then obviously, you know what the lads are like these days. It's like, right, go, it's got to be Vegas. It's got to be. So when it got down to like the last couple of games, we were thinking, right, there's a chance here. So we sort
of... Chance for Vegas, not promotion. There's a chance for Vegas.
Yeah, well, I think that was what spurred a few lads on. They're thinking, right, we have to get promoted here because I need one more shot at Vegas. Because we've got quite a lot of older lads in the group, so they might never get to go again. Do you know what I mean? So Conor Horan was brilliant. He was speaking to the secretary, and we kept it under wraps for a little bit. And then as soon as we done the deal on Saturday, he was straight on to Claire, the secretary, and managed to get our flights and stuff sorted. And we go Thursday morning till Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Jules, to be fair, go wrong.
It was taken out of our hands because the flights, we couldn't get all each of us on the same flight. So we had to go for 5 days because otherwise you wouldn't come back together.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
That team spirit, mate, is what carries you through.
Well, you've got to stick together, mate. You can't fly in dribs and drabs, can you?
Never leave a fallen soldier.
And nobody declined, obviously, the offer to go for 5 days.
No, I think it's compulsory.
And the good thing is you've got a good, 6 weeks to pay for it when you get
well, exactly, back. Yeah. So it's, I think that's the important thing is, like, seriously, to get it done straight away so you can celebrate in the moment together and it's still fresh in your mind. And then you can come back then and then you've got the rest of the break with your family and you can get back training and what, et cetera. So.
We just wish we could have... helped you with the back.
Jules is crestfallen that she's not going to make it.
5 days. I was expecting to be go on Thursday, back on Sunday.
Yeah. No, Jules, you know it's a long way away, don't you? It's
that's what I mean. I think by the time you fly and come back, the time difference. So I think we actually land Wednesday morning in England. But
you'd have to justify it to us, James. No, I'm more than happy with you going.
I feel like Jules needs us to justify it, though.
No, not at all. I'd be there.
Black mark for your name.
I'd be there. Yeah, if someone offered me a trip to Vegas, go on Thursday, come back Sunday, I'd be on first season.
I think the funny thing is, I think we obviously a lot of people in football, so we know a few lads at Pompey. I think Pompey are going same time. I think Wrexham are going
again.
And I'd heard a rumour that Mansfield were going as well, so it could be like three or four teams there as well.
Wow. I mean, that's just what you want to do. You want to travel the world, don't you, and see Paul Mullin with his top off by the pool. That's literally what you want to do.
See big Aidan Flint in Encore on Saturday. I've been trying to avoid him for years.
Honestly, can you imagine having all of those celebrating teams out in Las Vegas at the same time? There are bound to be some stories, and as soon as I hear them, I'll be sharing them liberally. Success comes in many forms over the course of a season, but for our next guest, he really did scoop the ultimate in terms of personal achievements this year. He was pushed hard by the runner-up, it has to be said. But for now, we must applaud and celebrate the magnificence of Salford City's star striker, the sensational Matt Smith. Right, 72-72 has been going all season long. You caught me on the hop last week, and it is so hard once you actually get stuck into it as your brain goes blank. There's been some real highlights this year, not least Stephen Fletcher just saying, I don't know, saying that more than actual names of teams. However, this is our final table. 28 people have stepped forward. At the bottom, Aaron Ramsey, the aforementioned Stephen Fletcher, Ruben Colwell, Stuart Dallas, Gary Rower, Alfie May, Valerian Ishmael, Andrew Moran, Matt Bloomfield, Liam Rossini, Lucas Djukovic, Joe Bryan, Mark Albrighton, Matt Butcher, Sam Byram, Callum O'Dowda, John Coleman, Joby McAnuff, David Artell, Tom Bradshaw, Ebo Adams, Wayne Rooney, Pete Wild, Danny Cowley, Patrick Bamford, Richie Wellens in third, some fella called David Prutton in second, but at the top, leading the way, well, pretty much all season from what I can remember, is Salford's Matt Smith, and he joins us right now. Matt, congratulations. How happy are you for this?
Honestly, delighted. It's better than my 25 goals this season, for sure. Best thing that's happened to me. Absolutely over the moon.
And the wonderful thing is, of course, we've made sure that you feel special, that you get the reward you deserve, and we've given you a certificate, haven't we?
This will be framed and hung in the Smith household, absolutely.
Be that fair. Actually looks like a proper certificate. There's some work gone into that.
That deserves a place in the toilet, at least.
And that would have been an obvious place to wrap this season's best bits, and we very nearly did. Until this next clip crept up on us and demanded to be used as something of an encore, apparently. It wasn't my choice, I hasten to add, as it still makes me cringe a little bit, but I'm duly obliged by producer Dave to relive the moment I said this to Sheffield Wednesday's Josh Windass. Speaking of contract talks, you're about to sign your biggest contract ever, aren't you, in a few weeks with a certain lady friend?
Well,
lady friend.
I don't get married to someone who's 60.
How old are you? Lady friend.
Josh is getting married very soon. That's where I was going with that joke. Are you all sorted? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, we're all sorted.
Have you agreed with everything? Because that's basically what you've got to do, mate.
Yeah, I just need to turn up, basically. That's all I've got.
And it's across the pond as well, isn't it? It's not in Sheffield Town Hall. It's over in America.
Yeah, in America. So going to go over there with a few of my pals, and it should be a good couple of weeks.
Josh, top stuff, mate. Really enjoyed your company. Apologies for calling your fiance a lady friend. That sounds more eggy the more I think around. Look at Jules's face. She's so embarrassed for me.
No, she won't watch this anyway.
She won't watch this anyway. Well, I, for one, certainly don't blame her, as I wouldn't be watching that cringy interview either if I wasn't paid to be here. To be fair, I thought Juliet was actually going to wet herself at one point, but she managed to hold it together, thankfully, as she has done for most of the season. And so that genuinely is your lot, I'm afraid, for this episode, and indeed the season as a whole. A huge thanks to all of the guests who have very kindly joined us. Thanks to David Stowell, Gary Weaver, and Juliet Ferrington, who have been fantastic to share a virtual sofa with this year. But the biggest thanks of all go to all of you who have listened, watched, subscribed and supported us throughout this campaign, as it's been an absolute pleasure. My name's David Prutton, wishing you all a lovely and relaxing summer break, and we'll see you again soon for some more top quality action from the EFL.